I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. Karen, Sean, aren't you glad this election cycle is hopefully over? We can move on to our lives?
It is. We are finally breathing normally. You know the feeling when you didn't realize you were holding your breath for 4 years?
Exactly.
I'm dying. Oh, my God.
You can exhale. Waiting. Hashtag waiting to exhale.
Hashtag moving on.
Moving on, man. New chapter. And with a new chapter, guys, I thought I'd bring in one of my favorite new people, new friends that even help put Two Black Guys with Good Credit where it is. All those cool little ads that you hear on our show right now. We're sounding so professional. I linked up with this guy that said, you guys need to do this. You need to do that. If you want to be big, you got to be like this. Not everybody's doing well in life. I can show you what to do. I can bring you the way. And Matt and I had our little conference meeting, and they were like, Matt and I were like, yeah, we can. All right, let's go with this guy. And this guy, Matt, bring him in, man. Who is he, Matt?
All right, I will bring him in. Our guest today, to all of our listeners, is a part of the Two Black Guys family. He is a man of many talents, a man of many skills. We could call him the Podfather. He is also a writer, a journalist. He's going to share with you some insights. He's just a very smart man, a Renaissance man. His name is Vernon Foster, and he is a friend of the show. And we're about to break it down. You're going to learn why he's our guest. Welcome, Vernon. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, without Vernon, there's no Two Black Guys with Good Credit, Vernon.
I mean, I'm right here, you guys, but yes. Yeah.
What about Karen? I can't give
you
all the credit.
You had her a couple shows ago. Like, come on. You got to give the white girl all the attention every show. Come on.
I mean, I don't hate
that.
She
so wants the attention. I'm like, Karen, we're shooting an audio show in 5 minutes. Oh, just give me 5 minutes. I'm doing my hair. Hair, we're audio.
I'm
so no, we're giving
you.
It to Vernon today. Karen, sit in the back seat. You're not getting the attention.
Listen,
it's going to Vernon.
I can't co-sign that. Vernon, we'll share. It's so nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you, Karen. I've heard a lot. Love your story, how you were a listener of the show.
Thank you.
And you actually use the things that, you know, Sean and Matt and you know, the crew teaches, and you implemented that, and now you're like a host of the show. Now you're a black guy with Good Credit. So
it's such a beautiful love story. Thank you.
Well, let's give a little backstory, Vernon. Let's tell the people a little bit about who you are and also ACAST and our connection.
Like, sure.
You know, break that down for the
all
listeners.
Relevant. All relevant. Yeah. So my name's Vernon Foster. I hail from Brooklyn, New York. I'm a Florida boy by birth. And,
Blue Florida boy, right?
Yeah, further south. I've been on this journey of entrepreneurship, career development. In a previous life, I was a DJ, graduated from Florida State with a degree in marketing and real estate. that kind of took me on a little journey in 2009 when the economy crashed. I realized that, oh my gosh, I got to figure something out. And fast forward today, I've done some things in between now and then. And right now I currently work for Acast, which is the largest podcast company in the world. We're in 16 different markets globally. And my current role is to basically just go out and find great talent and help develop that talent and help people make money, help podcasters not be broke. So that's my day job. By day I'm Clark Kent, and that's what I do. By night I'm Superman, and I help teach people how to pivot into new career opportunities and develop career skills.
That's so valuable, we just said, for our listeners and everybody that wants to pivot and do their own thing. Like, that analogy is so perfect. Like when you said you're Clark Kent by day and Superman at night, because if you really want to pivot out of your career, and you know, we're going to start it off that way, you really have to be the conservative Clark Kent, get through the day, do your job, look good, look professional, be good like Clark Kent did, exactly. I'll button him because that's what Vernon is. I didn't know he could be that type of personality until a few months down the road. And then at night is when the real work starts. Like, that's when you become Superman. I remember my brother always told me, like, when I was working at Chase, he was like, you know, you already have your work office set up. You have access to a fax machine. You have access to a computer. You have everything you need. So when everybody left the office after 6, I was there plugging away. I made it from 6 to 10, just looking at real estate, building my side hustle, becoming Superman after 6 o'clock. So I think that is a great way to start off the show. Like, Clark Kent during the day, Superman at night. Because if some people try to be like Superman at work, and then I don't even know they're Clark Kent. They're like... or like SpongeBob or something like that. After hour, like, put in an hour and be like, oh, one day I'm going to be my own boss. I just put in an hour. I just did a Google search, and that's my entrepreneurial spirit for the day. Day two, hey, I made some patty cakes. I don't know. Like, and you're really going to transition? No, it's Clark Kent, Superman. Love it.
So, Vernon, you said you're a Florida native, but you've been living in New York. Talk about how, like, was your entrepreneurial hustle always there, like from your days back home, or did it change? Has it shifted? Did moving to the different cities, has that impacted your business, your, and, you know, just your hustle?
Yeah, you got to make a lot of money to live in New York. Yeah. If you don't want to, like, be floating on the poverty line. So yeah, my hustle has definitely gotten better since I've been in New York. But I started my first business when I was 19, actually. When I graduated high school, I played sports, and then I stopped playing sports almost immediately because I wasn't going to be a D1 athlete. I'm not 7 feet tall, 220. And so I picked up DJing, and I started back then. It was this still, you could collect, people were still playing records out. It wasn't like all digital just yet. And so I would come home after school and I would scratch and mix records and, like, in my room, right? Like,
you're
bedroom
scratching mix
DJ.
Country music?
I'm sorry?
You were scratching mix of the country music?
Like, yes. Yes. Scootin' Boogie. No, I mean, it was all hip hop. And
what was your name? Music. What was your DJ name?
DJ Vinyl V.
Okay.
So I parlayed that into, I did that for about a year in my bedroom until I worked up enough confidence to start, like, pulling up to pool parties and, like, just setting up my gear. And then I would hand out business cards and be like, hey, if y'all having a party, let me DJ. And my first gig was a quinceañera. It's like a Spanish suite. 15 year. And I made $100, $150. And I was like, okay, this is validated. This is something that I can do. And I did that all throughout college to help pay my bills in the summertime and things like that when financial aid wasn't happening. One of the things that I did early on was that I knew that, you know, I had to do something outside of DJing to start to, like, you know, get more money coming in. So I went to conferences and stuff like that.
Learning to pivot, I guess, would come from those experiences.
Yeah. So I like the word pivot as an acronym. So potential, income, vocation, opportunities, traction, and we'll break all those down, right? But so I think that everybody should be learning, like, a skill, right? Like, there's there's skills that'll keep you out of jail and there's skills that'll keep you from going broke, right? If you do all those things, if you learn these things, and we're not born with, I don't think everyone's born with like skills, right? But you can learn them. These are all things that you can learn. Some people are like extremely talented, like LeBron, right? You're never going to be able to like hoop on LeBron, right? If you're not 6'3" or 6'5" and you got a wicked jump shot. But you can learn how to negotiate, right? You can learn how to sell. You can learn how to brand yourself online. So for me, I took the skills that I had in DJing of like networking and kind of setting up deals, and I parlayed that into the real estate world because that's what I had got my degree in. And so I went to this one real estate conference that they had on my campus, and I met a guy by the name of David Goodbye. Super awesome Canadian American dude who put me on, and he was like, hey, here's my business card. If you call me and you follow up, I'm sure we can have an opportunity for you. And so that's what I did. And that was kind of like the potential, right? That was like, there was a potential for me to, and this is the P, right? There's a potential for me to like work in the industry, but I had to kind of figure out what like the opportunities were or build my relationships through networking. And that was the first guy who mentored me early on in my career.
So is it a pivot though, if you went to school for real estate and then you got into real estate, but you were also DJing at the same time? Like in your playbook, are you talking about that kind of pivot where you're just like, I'm doing both these things, I'm going to go in this direction? Or are you talking about like doing a new thing, completely new and changing direction, so your life shifts?
Yeah, I think kind of what going back to what Sean was saying, I think you can do both, right? I think we live in this world where we feel like it's like this or that. Like, but I believe in the world that you can have both and, right? So in the case where what I was doing with DJing into real estate, that was specific to like my opportunity and my life at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. At that time period. But let's say like, I know Karen, you do stand-up comedy, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So like you still, like obviously the world is a lot different, right? People aren't going to live shows anymore.
Right.
It's kind of wild, right? So in your case, right, if it was like, what's my pivot? How can I, you know, kind of pivot out of this? Okay, so like with the skills that you have, what's the potential, right? Or like, can you do an inventory and see like, where do the skills of being a stand-up comedian transfer into other opportunities? I know y'all had James Altucher on other day, right? And he was talking about how like stand-up comedy is like one of the hardest things ever, like, I believe it. I don't know how y'all do it. I give it up to you. It's probably extremely hard to get on stage and like I would be like, run. Like, why are you booing me? Right? So you have this skill set.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like, what's the potential, right? So like maybe you could help people like public speaking, right? Like maybe people are very uncomfortable on Zoom when they're in these presentations with their, you know, their team members, or they have to pitch to their board or whatever. So like, but you're good, right? Like you're not phased, I'm guessing, right? You're not phased.
So right.
You know what though, but yeah.
Sorry, I just want to piggyback quickly on what he's saying regarding
just piggyback.
Blowing up your head. Like, you know, Karen and I, we've kind of really started working hard together within the last few months. Mm-hmm. And what you're saying is so right, because she's pivoting. Like we both know she's pivoting, and she's really like, you know, and she read your thing. So that's helping with her pivot. We're going to talk about that, Vernon. But what she's doing is that she's really leveraging those skills that she got from stand-up, the skills that she learned in school,
right.
Her writing skills, and I can see it. I feel it with her. That's why, I mean, I know I don't want to blow her up, but I enjoy seeing Karen every day, you know, because just her energy and how I see her moving and how she's using her skills. Like you said, Vernon, we're like, hey, stand-up is not working anymore, but she's smart. She's creative. She's doing and it's all these skills that she's kind of packaging now and coming out with a brand that I think is, you know, how can it go wrong? You know, so I 100% agree with what you're saying, and I see it in action with Karen.
Well, it's funny because you're totally right about that. And we talk about this all the time, and I've talked about it on this show too. And it's like, it's actually kind of vulnerable to talk about your pivot, right? To be like, this isn't working for me so much, and I've invested so much in it, and now there's a pandemic or whatever. And, you know, reasonably, are we going to be doing stand-up comedy at 2 o'clock in the morning until the day we die? Maybe not, right? Like maybe we can use it as, and I feel like probably everyone relates, that you have a skill that's a meta skill, right? That it's a skill that like makes you good at everything else. Whatever I do in my entire life, stand-up's a part of it because it made me good at speaking and like being quick on my feet and okay with like some public humiliation here and there, you know, like you can't offend me. You're never going to offend me. Like that's a skill as well, you know? So, yeah, that's the pivot. Like you're looking at the pivot.
So let me ask you a question then. Like myself, you know, it's almost ritual for me. I don't even know. I've been doing it since I was young. Like every morning I really get up and mind F myself, like convince myself that I can do something, convince myself that I belong, convince myself. But if I had some negative feedback yesterday, I can transition it and I can maneuver in a way that works for me. Do you think part of, and I think when I speak to people, like they lack the self-confidence that I think they need. And to me, self-confidence equals mind effing yourself. Because you kind of have to kind of put blinders on sometimes. Matt, you're shaking your head. Come on, man. You got to do it. You got to put blinders on. You got to look in that mirror. I got to look in that mirror sometimes and say, yeah, why am I 2020 handsome man of the year? I got to mind up myself. And so do you believe like the mental part of like pivoting success starts with that? And if it does, explain what you think is necessary.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, belief is everything. If you don't believe you can do it, you're not going to be able to do it, right? Like you're doomed from the start. So kind of in the acronym, right, the pivot, like to me, that's like, oh, opportunities. So like, where are the opportunities for you to level up your growth, your mindset? I love, you know, the old school speakers, the Jim Rohns of the world. You know, the Eric Thomases of the world, you know, when you want it bad enough, you will breed, right?
Yes. Like, Jocko Willing.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess I don't want this.
I need to get some of that.
You know what? If you want someone to kick your ass every morning, download Jocko Willink's, Discipline Equals Freedom Field Manual. Sometimes, not all the time, I don't always have it together, but like sometimes I will put that on first thing in the morning and his like deep marine voice, you know, like they just don't tolerate any of your crap at all. Yeah. They have no time for it. He's like, if you want to stop missing someone, then stop missing them. I'm like, yeah, I will do that now.
that's exactly how Eric Thomas, he's the guy you just mentioned is the Marine. Eric Thomas is the football coach who's in your
for
face.
Sure.
Like,
I love it.
Get up, do more, stop being weak. Like, okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, no, it's good. You need that propaganda, I think, right? Because like, it's for like sure. You know, when you walk down the street holds your feet up. Like sometimes you need to hold your head up with somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and I also think in terms of the opportunity component of that and the pivot acronym and the methodology is that you need to surround yourself around people who like can either mentor you who've already been there or like people who are like allies, right? People are on the same journey, on the same path as you, because you get that kind of like that gym buddy, right? It's like, if I gotta go to the gym at 6:15 in the morning by myself, probably gonna miss a day or two, maybe three. But if I'm going my friend Ronnie and Ronnie's there every morning, he's gonna, hey, you here? Where you at? Where you at? And you need that kind of, not to say that you shouldn't have self-discipline and be able to do it yourself, but when you have that gym buddy, you kind of feel like you're lockstep arm in arm with somebody and you're on the journey together.
So Vernon, how did you get from real estate into this podcast game? Break down that pivot.
Yeah, so 2009, I graduated, one of the worst economies ever, right? Like crappiest time ever to graduate.
Yep.
And then I didn't have a job right away, but I eventually got into that real estate company through David because I had an intern there and I was kind of like, they were like, hey, just stick around, we'll figure something out. And I did that for about a year and I was like, this doesn't feel right. I lost a good friend of mine. And that kind of shook me a little bit. And I started kind of asking myself, like, what do I really care about? Like, if that was me and I had passed away, like, what's the thing that I regret not doing? And it was really music. So I was like, I got to figure out if this is something that I want to do. And if it's not something that I need to quit immediately. And I wouldn't recommend people doing it the way I did it. I would have like at least 6 to 12 months of income saved up. But I ended up quitting that job. And then I started an entertainment company with two of my good friends. in Orlando, and we went on to create the biggest weekly dance music festival in Orlando, and that was in 2012. I did that for about 3 years, and I started to get burned out. I was like, this is not really, I don't really feel a lot of growth here. It's taking a lot of my energy, crazy party scene, you know, like, yeah, you can imagine, right? And then I went on a trip to Nicaragua, and I remember I was riding on a chicken bus with my friend Josh, and I'm looking out the window. I'm like, man, I gotta do something. I don't know what it is, but it's gotta be online. I feel like it's gotta be online. I get back that next week, and I just start looking at like online businesses, online opportunities, and I came across podcasting. And I was like, okay, I'm a DJ. I know how to talk to people. It's pretty easy. I can turn on a computer. I can talk into a microphone. I can do this, right? And that's how I got into podcasting. And fast forward, you know, a couple of years later, the podcast, by the way, it was atrocious. It failed. I think I put out like 3 episodes. But what I learned in that process was how a podcast works on the back end. And then I said, oh my gosh, this has been a big pain in the ass to like really put together. This is a business. And so I created a whole business called Pod Parrot. And our job was to basically go in and help entrepreneurs and businesses launch and manage their podcasts.
Wow. And that's so how that happened. This leads to a question I have for you, Vernon. Then, excuse me. So yeah. What do you suggest for people? Do you suggest people having a career on what you do best or kind of what you love? Some people always want to do what they love, but may not be the best thing for them. So what is your suggestion?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like this thing, I call it like the trifecta, right? It's like, you want to find that sweet spot between your talent, you know, what you can make a decent income doing, and what you're interested in. So if you have like all 3 of those components, it'll be more like, I kind of look at it like a stool, right? If you have a stool that only has 2 legs, the stool is going to fall over. But if you have 3 legs, the stool is more likely to like be able to stand up. So like you have to, at least in my mind, you don't have to do anything. You can do whatever you want. But in my mind, it's like finding the intersection of the thing that you can make a decent salary for, or, you know, as a business owner, you can pay yourself a good salary for, the thing that you're interested in, and the thing that you have like a talent in, or you have the ability to like grow in that area. So that would be my formula, if you will.
All right.
What if you're good at everything and you have too many options?
Like me.
Then you're just Karen. Yeah. Just Karen.
Yeah, well,
so hard, guys.
If you're good at everything, I don't think you even need to ask that question. You can just go on and keep on winning. So, but what we're good at is also going to commercial break and hopefully getting some good sponsors to keep funding this broadcast. So stay tuned.
Hinted, Vernon, some good sponsors, all right? So she'll put some good sponsors in between here.
So stay tuned for more 2 Black Guys with Good Credit. We have Vernon Foster from Acast, who is teaching us all about the art of the pivot. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and the financially knowledgeable. We are joined by a special guest today, Vernon Foster. He is the pod father, the podcast boss at Acast. He is another member of family member of 2 Black Guys with Good Credit, and he's joining us today talking about pivoting. So Vernon, we want to talk to you about side hustling. So can you start a side hustle with $100? How much is it? What does it take to have an effective side hustle? Break that down.
We already know that can't get Karen out on a date for $100, but can we do a side hustle? Facts. That's not enough.
Hashtag facts.
Hashtag you know me.
Facts. Yeah, I mean, it depends, right? If you want to open up a retail store right now with $100, no, you probably can't do that. If you want to start an online coaching business or like something where you're teaching somebody a skill, sure. I love what's going on with Zoom right now, because like everybody's on Zoom. We're on Zoom. Like, you've probably been on 3 Zoom calls this week. I've been on Zoom all week.
Sounds like a Zoom endorsement deal on our way.
Yeah, Zoom, send money. So let's use that as kind of like the foundation here, right? And you can use this, you can switch out Zoom with whatever platform, Shopify or whatever. I'm just using Zoom in the context because I think it's relevant. So let's say you, you're a really technical person, right? Like Matt, you're super technical. You kind of do all the technical stuff. Is that not true?
I'm technical-ish.
Oh, okay.
Are boomers technical? Like, does that even make sense? Can a boomer be technical? Wow.
Shade.
Let the record reflect. I am a millennial. Or, okay. I'm millennial adjacent. I'm millennial adjacent.
Days projecting.
That's still like living off of Excel.
I'm a millennial in spirit. So anyway, Vernon,
his email address is still AOL. You know that, right?
Okay, you got jokes, Vernon. Please proceed. Don't let this foolishness get you off track.
Mad technical.
Well, I know you do the editing, so that's what I'm referring to.
And you're absolutely correct in your assessment editor of my technical acumen. I appreciate that, but proceed.
So with Zoom, there's a lot of things that people don't know, right? Like it's like, how do I send out an invite? How do I have multiple people on a Zoom? You know, that's a skill set that you can skill up in and sell training to someone. So Zoom coaching, you know, Zoom technical setup. So with $100, you can go on like, you know, you can spend $20 and go on like Skillshare or Coursera or Udemy. There's all these different like learning platforms out there where you can pay like 10, 15, 30 bucks for the course. That'll get you skilled up. And then you can find your first three customers by going on something like, you know, Instagram or Twitter and looking up hashtags. And then you could even go on like LinkedIn and like DM people and just like, hey, just, you know, I'm curious how everything's working out with Zoom. I put together a free package where, you know, I'll give you a 15-minute Zoom assessment. Right. And you just get on the call with them. The idea is not to pitch them. It's just to be of service and figure out like where they're struggling with. And you can do all that for $100. Right.
What you're saying, Vernon, is, you know, is so on point. I believe like we interviewed James Altucher a few weeks ago.
I love James. Shout out to James.
And that's what he was talking about. He's made millions of dollars from just like leveraging like these things that are available online, these tools, these newsletters, these all these things that you just mentioned, and I know you guys didn't speak because you don't got it like that, Vernon. So you just, this is your creativeness and his creativeness, and they're really aligned. They really are aligned. So I read your career pivot manual, which I thought was awesome. Everybody needs to read it. And you mentioned from fantasy to reality. And now do you believe, and I hate people that like, since I've been teaching financial literacy, I get at least a 1-weekly email with Karen seeing them now. Hey, Sean, can we meet? Because I got this way where you can make $1 million a week and we can all invest. And, you know, I kind of hate those kind of conversations. And that's kind of fantasy. So do you believe in, like, you have to believe in this fantasy reality. So tie it into this $100 hustle, how that can become a reality.
Yeah, I think I like the idea of validating things. So until you get your first, let's say, three customers, it's just fantasy, right? So you can have an idea. You can say, hey, I'm a Zoom technical setup assistant. You can say, I'm a Zoom yoga fitness instructor. You can say, hey, I teach people how to be more comfortable on camera. You know, I come from the comedy world in Karen's case, right? And until you validate that by getting someone paying you money, it's just an idea. It's just fantasy, right? And so the reality pieces, I think, is the money when it's validated.
What about people who are doing this kind of later in life? Like, you know, people who have like careers behind them that maybe like are age. Obsolete. Let's say we're talking to Sean.
I'm millennials.
Upper 50s and 60s. All right,
60s. I threw you a jab, Matt. You gave me an uppercut. I get it, bro.
Listen, if you're talking to like an ancient boomer, what would you tell them about using
Karen,
the time
the
they have
for me? Can you be a little more sensitive to the ancient boomer? Matt already muted this conversation after you said that.
Listen, I love an ancient boomer. We all love an ancient boomer, but it's not easy for them to pivot because they're older. They don't know the technology as well. Maybe they have kids or families, or they're just like scared of learning new stuff. Like even
to open a Gmail account.
scared to open an account. I totally get it. Who can blame them? The world was different 150 years ago. I completely understand.
What is this interweb? What is this interweb?
Now you're Karen with an A, not with an E. Come on, where are you going with this, Karen?
Listen, I can only stand so many insults. So how do you modify your pivoting advice for people who are like a little bit later in life?
I mean, I think the internet is the great equalizer, right? I think it's one of those things where it's like, you can be like, I'm never going to use the internet. It's the devil. Or, you know, like, or you can just embrace it, right? It's like, you know, at one point, like, people didn't want to use fax machines, right? They're like, I'm just going to like send it through the carrier. And so it's kind of like this thing where you have to adapt. I mean, my mom knows how to use Gmail. My mom knows how to use Google Docs. You know, I'm not going to say her age.
Your mom has her doctorate, Vernon. I don't think that
she does. She went back to school. But here's the thing I was going to say, right? Doesn't matter. Take the internet out of it, right? Take social media out of it. Let's talk about the skills that matter, right? Income skills, networking skills, and negotiation skills. Those are the three skills that'll keep you out of jail and from being broke, right? And so when I say income skills, that's selling, that's creating, solving problems. If you know how to sell, you're never gonna starve, right? If you're creating, right? If you write books, if you create content, you can get like this podcast, you can get advertising, you can get ads. Mm-hmm. If you're solving problems, you know, you're a business owner. That's what every business is in existence to do, to solve problems.
Right. And the funny thing is, like, you know, the internet's intimidating maybe for people who are older, but unlike a fax machine, the internet can teach you how to use the internet. Yes. Like, the answers are right there. The fax machine's not going to help you.
You nailed it. Yeah. Everything you can go on YouTube, right? It's like anything that I don't know, where do I go? YouTube or, you know, LinkedIn Learning or wherever, you know.
Vernon, talk about networking. That's what how important networking is in your side hustle and just business.
Oh, it's everything. Yeah. It's everything. I mean, it's people think that they're smart, you know, and they're like, I'm so smart. It's all because of me. You know, I like to think that I'm smart, but really I know it's about, you know, relationships. I'll use this for an example. Sean, when do we meet?
November. A year ago. Happy anniversary, bro.
Happy
bro man anniversary. Like, you know.
So Sean and I met a year ago. I reached out to y'all, invited y'all to join our company, our platform. And now I'm on the podcast, right?
But give them the foundation. Like, we didn't come in, we're like, it was really like a lot of foundation understanding. We weren't on the same platform. Like, it was, and it was risk on both ends.
Right. Well, I guess the point of all that is to say that, like, for me, the way I look at networking is a serve first mentality, right? A very smart woman always told me, don't show up to the barbecue without anything. That woman was my mom. Right.
Bring something to the party.
And so for me, it was like, how could I help be of service? Right. And so that looked like a lot of different ways. One, it was establishing the fact that where you guys were at, we could do more for you. I think you guys were on a different host that shall not be named, but you weren't really monetizing your show. You weren't making any revenue off of it. Right. So it's like, hey, how would you like to make more money doing the same thing you're doing? With the same amount of effort. Okay, that sounds good. And so from that standpoint, got you on, you know, Acast, you know, you guys started working. And then I took it a step further. I was like, hey, you guys have really great branding, like two black guys with good credit. Someone's going to hear that, by the way. I'm rocking the shirt.
There we go.
Rocking the shirt. You know, you have a great brand name, right? Like, when I say that, people are like, what? I wear the shirt. People are like, is that a real podcast? So you have great branding, right? But from a content standpoint, y'all were doing things that weren't helping you like grow. You were inconsistent with your publishing schedule. You weren't, the topics were kind of all over the place. And so like, we kind of dialed it in and was like, hey, what if you do this? And this is not just me. I can't take all the credit for this. This was your team. And now like the evolution is like, you have Karen in the mix now, you're bringing on bigger guests. You know, that was something that we talked about, Sean, getting featured on other podcasts, bringing more people in from different audiences and leveraging their audience. So it was a lot of what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? It was never like, Sean, can you hook me up with so-and-so? Or like, do you got a, can I get a simple interest loan? Or, you know, it was never any of that. It was more of just like me being of service and, you know, inviting you to the holiday party, right?
And just so our listeners know too, like, you know, let's just talk about the success in a quantitative measure, like far as numbers and just percentage-wise. By like doing the things that we did, working together, accepting constructive criticism, and really you honing in on what we needed to do. What did that do a year later as far as growth?
I think you doubled your listeners?
More than double.
More than double.
Tripled. Yeah, over tripled our listeners.
Obviously you went from no revenue, ad revenue, to I don't know how much you guys made this year.
Making money, yeah.
I think it was a bazillion.
And now a trillion.
A trillion.
Which is first, zillion or trillion?
A trillion, gazillion dollars.
A trillion, gazillion, yeah. We're listed on the stock exchange now. One of those, yeah. Yeah, it really does work. And, you know, and like Vernon said, networking is so important. And aligning yourself with the right people that add value. So many times people bring in especially partners because they're good friends, they're cool, but they're not really adding value. You know, Matt, like he says, he's the editing machine behind this whole podcast. He wears so many hats. And then Vernon, like you said, he gave us the laundry list, which is some people might have been offended by it, like of really hard information that we needed to hear and like hard deliverables. You need to do A, X, Y, Z. And then, you know, Karen came on the show, but you know, she's not just the pretty Jewish girl. She's very talented and brilliant. She's a workhorse. That girl, as much as she jokes around, she is a workhorse. You know, and that
all I heard was value. Blah, 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 horse, but I forgive you.
But you know, so, what what's interesting though, it's the whole theme or the whole term, your acronym for PIVOT, it's kind of what our show has been living, like mm-hmm. from having potential from a great idea and then putting in the work before we got to ACAST and just trying to build something out of nothing. And then you seeing the potential in us and then us actually finding the income and the opportunities. We've lived that journey. So it's really interesting as you broke down the PIVOT. It's like we've lived that as a show.
Yeah, for sure.
So what are some skills that you can have that are like super evergreen that are never going to go out with changing times or internet or TikTok or whatever, besides just being like very, very attractive?
My God. I thought that comment was to you, Vernon. And then I had to switch my mind around and be like, no, that can't be for me. It is for Karen. For one split second, Vernon, I thought that was about you. I did.
My ego thought it was about me too. I was like,
exactly. I had to like, Karen, yeah, girl. And then once I Karenized it, I realized, no, she boomeranged it right back.
I feel seen.
Yeah, I'm taken, so yeah, it's fine. So you asked me about skills, like what are some skills aside from looking good? You know, we talked about income skills. We talked about networking skills. So selling, income skills, selling, creating, solving problems, networking, we just talked about. Negotiation skills, right? If you're in this economy where you are transitioning into a new, you know, pivoting into a new role, you're going to need to know your worth. You're going to need to know where you have leverage. And if you don't have enough value or leverage, you have to go back and skill up, right? If you're going to go work for a company and, you know, a good way to do this is look at what they're hiring for, right? Look at all of the roles. Do you have those credentials? If you don't, then maybe it's time to find a mentor. Maybe it's time to look for different opportunities where, you know, maybe you even take a different job that you can graduate into that, right? Just to get your foot in the door. But, you know, I think negotiation skills are time and tested. Those are never going to go away.
I just want to piggyback on what you just said, because, you know, when I moved to New York in the 90s, late 90s, you know, my dream coming from Canada is that I wanted to meet the who's who. I wanted to be, at that time, I wanted to meet the Jay-Z's, the Bill Gates, the, you know, the Elon Musk. I wanted to meet the movers and shakers of New York. But I didn't want to meet them as like fans, you know, like how Matt meets people, like, you know, as like, I'm a fan of yours. Like, hey, can I
want to sit at the table.
I wanted to meet these people in my head and like, be able to have something of added value to them where they could use something where I'm providing a service where they'll be like, hey, you're Sean Linda, you do this, let's work together. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, the podcast has allowed me now to have those conversations. Like when I meet, if I'm meeting like the Jay-Z's, if I'm meeting the Elon Musk, if I'm meeting the Bill Gates, if I'm meeting the Vernons, I'm able to say, hey, I do this really great show. Would you like to come on our show? It's like you said, the name is catchy. Here's what we do. And it builds a conversation. It looks like I can provide a service, you know, and here's the people we're reaching out to. So I agree with what you're saying 100%, like the negotiating skills and the networking skills. Some people think networking is like, I've seen people's idea of networking is like, I met Vernon, I met Matt, I met Karen, we went out to a bar, we had a drink. No, like real networking is like when that person leaves and they feel like this person is going to add value and I need their service versus like, they want to come work with me. They want to be part of my crew.
Right. There's a difference between clout chasing as the term of this era and actually business networking, like meeting people and building relationships as opposed to a fan, you know.
But I'm not a fan of those networking events, though, where everybody's just like shooting each other business cards. Oh, I can't stand them. I mean, I'm not telling you not to do them. But they're gross. I'm not a fan of like, here's your card. Here's my card. Here's your card. Here's your card.
That's not networking.
Because it's so opportunistic and so just so nakedly thirsty. And it's never about adding value. Never. It's always about, what are you going to do for me? How are you going to pluck me out of my problems and make them go away? I have not given any thought to you.
And most of those times, we're all at the same level. Like, we're all hungry. And really, hunger doesn't find hunger. Like, you know, if you go to those networks, you found the path to success through them. God bless you. But those events, everybody puts on those fake suits and comes out with their cards and they're just that fake talking and moved another sec. Oh my God. I don't know how they're productive, Matt. I don't know why you keep going in the Matt. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Wow. I think that's
a right jab, Matt.
You actually missed. It was a glancing blow. It didn't really connect. But my point is that if you're an authentic person and you actually can provide value and you know how to interact, you can have a good interaction at one of those quote unquote networking events. You can have one of those at just meeting someone in the street. If you know, it's a skill. If you know how to talk to someone or communicate and present your authentic self, it's not really about where you're at. It's how you, I think, present yourself.
You know what though? If you're just super, super hot, you are already adding value to people's lives.
And that works for me. So, you know, that's kind of, I lean on that, but you know, let's stick with the skills that pay the bills. We're going to take a quick break. And Vernon, that's our next topic, the skills to pay the bills. We're going to have you break that down. So everybody stay tuned for more Two Black Guys with Good Credit with Vernon Foster, the Podfather.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to Two Black Guys with Good Credit, the show for the financially curious and financially knowledgeable. We have a podcast impresario, guru, expert, Vernon Foster, a.k.a. the Podfather.
He's a pop punk podfather, man.
The Podfather of Soul. He's James Brown. He's the James Brown.
Want to get in the hot tub? It's hot.
Wow, that's amazing.
Karen, don't worry, Karen. When you were at Hebrew school, we were doing this, okay?
I'm a little Karen young is so lost for this.
Right now. Yeah. He's looking at the screen. What is this black language happening right now? I'm not aware of this. I got like Billy.
That is your Billy homework, Karen.
Eddie Murphy.
FYI, Billy is the ongoing black quote-unquote friend that Karen has, which we all think
friend
is
black.
Her black teddy bear that she has, okay?
You never believe me.
Vernon, did you ever meet a black guy named Billy? Like, Billy?
Apparently, there's actually some very famous black, there's actually some very famous black Billies. Sean.
Billy Dee Williams.
So racist. Oh, so
that was
black
80s.
Billy,
he was just trying to cross over. His real name is not Billy Dee Williams. And those times, he just had to cheat.
His name is not that at all. It's William Petit.
Oh, wow. Now, then I don't know any. Sorry.
All right. Well, I won't say before we digress because we already did digress, but let's get back on track.
Yeah,
and
sure.
In this section, we've labeled it the skills to pay the bills. We want to know, like, there's a lot of people with skills, but they don't have the ability to fit today's market. You know, it's like having great penmanship, but who cares? What kind of skills are actually paying the bills in your mind? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think let's workshop this, right? So let's use Karen as an example, if she's cool with that. I don't know.
Sure,
are you cool with that?
I'm cool.
So you said that you had a stand-up comedian career, and now you're kind of transitioning that into other areas. Tell me more about that.
Right. Yeah, so part of stand-up, it's not just stand-up. There's all kinds of stuff you do. You can act, you do podcasts, just a million ways to make content. But most of it is actual in-person stand-up comedy at a show.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You're forgiven.
Never do it again.
But like, obviously, there's been a pandemic. So there's two things, right? There's been a pandemic. So we're in the middle of a plague, and it's just not reasonable to be out doing shows. People can't put on shows. They're like all outdoors, which is fine, but now it's freezing cold. So if you were putting off this pivot before, now you really have to think about it. And the second thing is that stand-up is a late night, you know, time intensive thing. People are always out. They're always drinking. It's like, you know, everybody's outside smoking. It's like, it's a lifestyle. So you have to really want to maintain that lifestyle in order to be in that all the time. And I also reached a point where I was like, right, I want to do this on my terms. I want to keep the stand-up part that I love, but I don't want to be married to it anymore. Like, I want to be able to work from home when there's a lockdown. I want to.
And I was an outside guy that broke it all up. I broke that marriage up, Karen. I came in there as a black man that I am, came
home
in there 2
record.
In the morning and broke that marriage up.
You wrecked
that
home.
Really?
Well, something you have to just figure it out. And like, look, it's like, look, you have these skills, you have this network, you have this cool group of people. Everybody's a hustler. Everybody's super talented. I hang out with some of the funniest people in the world. So, you know, that's never not dope. But what are we doing, right? What are we really doing? And also, no one's just one thing, right? I do know people who are such pure stand-ups that they couldn't conceive of doing anything else but being on stage with a microphone. And I'm not that. I love it. It's part of what I do. I've been doing it for a while, but I do other stuff. Like, I write essays for fun, you know, like I like finance. I do a bunch of other stuff. So how do we turn that into money?
For fun?
Yeah.
It really does.
Yeah. I was waiting for someone to call me a back race nerd. Yes, essays for fun. I write on Quora. I post on there all the time, and it's like not funny. It's like,
I'm
all
like, Karen,
serious.
Let's do a newsletter.
Really?
To get people to help out. She goes, no, I'll do it on myself.
No.
I want to
do it
on myself.
I'll do it.
I'm like, whoa.
No, hold on a second. Are you serious? You do that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I used to write college essays for people. I used to like help people get into college.
Her writing is impeccable. Her writing skills are impeccable.
Do academic stuff. I just write like academic style essays when I just feel like I have something on my mind I want to discuss for fun, post that on Quora. Like, it's been really fun. It's been very validating. It's like better than a picture, right? Because people can't see your cute face. But so it's like, right, how do we make money? And also, I just want to make money. Like, I love money. I enjoy it. Money's what I love. Stand-up's what I love. Writing's what I love. So like, can we pivot to that?
You got expensive taste.
I have taste, period. You know what I mean? Like, if you like anything that's not crap, you have taste. So you're going to need some money to support that taste habit of yours. And that's what I want. And so we're doing well. And part of the pivot has been not just, so Two Black Guys with Good Credit has been like the avatar of this pivot for me. And it's not just the broadcasting part. It's the business part, right? Where you're like, now we're going to treat this like a business. It's not just for fun. It's not joke, 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 joke. There's other stuff built in that's real value. I guess part of the pivot has been, how do I add value in a way that is satisfying to me, leverages my skills, and that people actually need? You know, stand-up is so, I love it, but it's so selfish. And because of that, because you're not really doing it for other people and the value is literally just sit there and laugh, which is value, but it's not, you could live without it also. You know, there has to be a way to un-niche myself. Do you know what I mean? Like provide more value to people where there's cash money. So, yeah. And where I love what I do and like connect with people. So this podcast is not to like belabor the point, but is not just a podcast, right? There's a whole nonprofit attached to it. For sure. That's really exciting. That's like a business avenue, and monetizing the whole thing is a business. It's like a creative executive hybrid, which is sort of my dream, right? We're talking about this newsletter we're putting out, this email list that we're working on, which is like this big asset that the company has. Making a plan for that, I love doing. Having meetings, I love doing. Writing, I love doing. And all that stuff is a way of monetizing existing skills without without killing myself over, am I going to be out every night? When's my next spot? How do I hustle this up? You know, yeah. At a time when it's not an option.
No, that's beautiful. I love it. You're definitely smart. and so there's a lot to unpack there, but you know, I'll kind of run through the acronym. So for me, the P is the potential, is that, hey, I've been doing this. I have this skill set. You know, it's not just going on stage and standing up in front of people and talking. I write, you know, I have a creative mind. I can organize things. I'm business minded. So there's a lot of potential there. The I piece, the income, right, is it's, this is a business now. It's not just me going on stage and collecting money from a club promoter. It's like, how can I look at this broadly and say the podcast is an opportunity, the nonprofit's an opportunity, maybe me getting, you know, a deal somewhere like a book opportunity, right? So those are all the income components. And then the vocation, which is, I think, the thing that most people miss. Most people think they want a job, but they really don't want a job. What they want is a vocation. And I love the definition of vocation is it's a mission. It's something that you wake up and you're excited about and you feel compelled to get out of bed every morning, right? It's this thing, that's this calling. So this, you said, I love how you said that it's the, you know, it's my dream job. It's my dream career. Mm-hmm. That's, to me, you're in this space of like finding this vocation,
right?
Because it kind of taps into all of these things that, you know, bring your energy out, right? It's right. Like, what gives you energy? What makes you feel excited?
Well, I think everyone wants to be on their purpose, right? You have that deep feeling when you are on your path and you feel it, that takes away your anxieties. You know, even if you haven't gotten there yet, that feeling of like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
It's so satisfying.
For sure. And then the opportunities that are gonna, you know, there's tons of opportunities that can come from that, but you've already identified some. And then the T, the last part, is traction. So like, what are some things that you can test? Kind of like how I mentioned the Zoom thing. So maybe you could actually, you know, try coaching people to be more, you know, energetic and more outgoing and not afraid on camera on their Zoom meetings or something. And you could tee that up. The podcast is the perfect way to tee that up, because you can say, hey, I'm looking for 3 people to pilot this new program. And I'm just going to basically helping people become more comfortable on Zoom when they're in their meetings or whatever. Right. So that's the whole kind of process. But I love that you're parlaying those skills, because similar to James, like what I heard him say on the podcast, and like, these are skills. This is like a very hard thing to do. Like a lot of people don't want to get it. Like they say the number one thing, like that people fear, speaking in public or something like that.
Yeah, right. Right.
So if you can help people with that,
right,
that's a problem that you're solving, and they'll pay you money for it. So I think you're on the right track. I'm
impressed. So I want to just give a little, getting back to the skills that pay the bills. And this is what I'm so confused with, millennials and zillennials and stuff like that.
Zillennials? Did you just create a word? He's just creating his own generation.
I just want to know, what do you think constitutes, and I think the young people need to listen to this, and I need to understand it better even myself, what constitutes good social media market skills? Is a success really simply who has the most followers is the winner? Like, because I think some people are so caught up with, like, followers, and is that the path, like, trying to get as many followers as I can? Then, like, for someone that has 100,000 followers, if someone that has 100,000 followers or 250,000, are they God? And if I only have 5,000, am I, like, a simpleton? Like, what is the, do you think makes yourself having good social media skills, and how do you gauge it?
Sean's got 50 followers for this.
I was going to say, it sounds like somebody's, brother, sounds like somebody's a bit salty.
Man. Better than your 49. I'm always one up on you, bro.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, right? And I think it depends, right? Because I know people who have like less than 1,000 YouTube subscribers and they make millions of dollars, right? And then I know that there's a lot
Digby,
of...
how's that? Please explain, how's that then?
Oh, because they sell products and services, right? Like they sell things that are high ticket. They don't just sell like the $199 eBooks, right? They have courses, they have coaching. They have multiple components of their business, right? It's like, you're not just the most successful people that I've seen and that I've, you know, worked with and my friends who do it. It's not about the numbers. It's about leads. They want to get people in their funnel.
So, and that's an old world to my school. Like I grew up hearing the word leads, Vernon, believe it or not, like getting leads, and you just connected. This is just a new way of getting leads. Yeah.
But conversion is so hard, right? Because people will follow you for a specific thing, right? Let's say they follow you because, you know, you're an Instagram model or because you post a lot of jokes, but you want to sell something else. You're like, I made this great course or I wrote this great thing. The conversion is like the tricky part, right? Like you can get followers, but...
Exactly. But what Vernon just pointed out, and this is so important, that doesn't your followers equals leads should lead to conversions. If you have a million followers and only leads to one conversion, it's not good. But if you have 500 followers and it leads to 20 conversions in your conversion, it's so social media, you're breaking it down. It's about leads, getting leads, and then converting them.
Yeah. And the other thing, right, is, and I said it depends, right? So like, when you look at somebody like a Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Like he doesn't need anybody to buy his products, right? He doesn't need any of his followers to buy. He just needs his followers to buy his book. Well, he doesn't even need him to do that. But he sells a book, I think, once or twice a year or something like that. But he has a massive business and he works with Ford and all of these major companies. And that's how he makes his money. So his business is separate from his social media. His social media is just there to build a presence. Mm-hmm. And he charges an exuberant amount of money to go to Ford to speak, right? When they put on these conferences, and that's how he makes his money. So his social media isn't necessarily tied to him having to, he doesn't have to eat off that.
So example number two is as a marketing tool.
Yeah. But I think where a lot of people go wrong is that they're like, oh, if I just have 100,000 Instagram followers, I'm going to be rich. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be rich because you still have to convert those people. You still have to provide value. Like kind of what you're saying, Karen, is like, you're trying to sell something, but maybe that's not, people don't even want that from you. They just want they just want you to make them laugh. They don't look at you as a person who can give them business advice.
Yeah, right. Like the brand is different from the value. It's like, that's the part I think that maybe is tricky for people. It's the funneling, right? Like, how do you perfect this funnel? How do you actually go from, because all these steps are hard. How do you how do you grow an account? Well, you put all this work in and now you want to sell, you want to make a thing to sell. That's hard. Now you want to sell it to these people. So you have to find the people, sell it to them, make sure that that's the right demographic for what you're trying to sell. Yeah. And so, I think that's where people get lost.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so Vernon, question for you. So for our listeners out there who really want to learn how to pivot and read more about pivoting and you're going
to
share.
Yeah, they just go to careerpivotguide.com, careerpivotguide.com. They can get a free copy of it.
Awesome.
No giveaways, bro? Come on. No giveaways? Like all these active listeners, somebody can't get a guide?
It's free. What do you mean?
Oh, it's free? Oh,
yeah. Okay. It's free. They can just download it. They gotta give me their email address, but yeah, they can have it for free.
All right. Yeah. Well, Vernon, we appreciate all that you do for the Two Black Guys with Good Credit podcast.
Hey, no, man. I appreciate y'all.
You are the unofficial, you know, the pod father. You are a member of
unofficial.
The squad.
Hey, can I be an honorary
official pod father?
Okay, official.
I have two things. Can I be an honorary member of the Two Black Guys with Good Credit?
Absolutely.
Karen, are you in for that? Sean,
I'm on board. Listen, it's we kind of, here's a secret. We give that away.
Oh, oh my gosh!
We're all a Black Guy with Good Credit.
I don't feel special anymore.
That's our pivot book. You know what I mean? That's our free ebook. Is you are also a Black Guy with Good Credit.
See, now we need to do another episode about how to like not blow like you. That was just not a good salesmanship thing. He thought he was getting value, and you just totally like undercut yourself.
That's like when you think you have that special girl you bring it into a club, and everybody's looking at it like, oh yeah, shoot, oh that's oh you with Tracy now. Oh, that's how you feel right about now. Oh, you got Tracy? Oh.
All right, let's rewind that. Yeah, sure, Vernon. Of course you can be a Two Black Guy.
Of course, Vernon. We thought it through.
Of course, Vernon, we're going to send you our compliment, our t-shirt, the hat, Vernon. We're going to get you a special mic. You're an honorary you are a Two Black Guy. Yes, you've made it, Vernon. Is that better?
Yeah, that works. And I will say, I've already gotten a lot of, this is a plug for y'all, but I listened to the episode on balance transfers and transferred a balance and then got that taken care of and my credit score jumped up. So Credit Karma and balance transfers work, and that's through listening to the podcast. So
there is value in this show, right? Through all that dissecting of all the stuff we talk, there is some value in Two Black Guys.
Look at that good credit. Look at that delicious good credit.
I got good credit. I got good credit. That's what they'd be asking you on the apps now. It's like, is your credit score above 700? Yes. All right.
AKA Two Black Guys, good credit.
All right. Well, this brings today's episode to a close. So Vernon, if these ladies out here who've heard about your DJ skills, your good credit, your Renaissance game, you know, if they want to get at you, you know, what's your social media handles? Like, you know, I know they want to get, you know, let the ladies know you're going to be in demand now that you're a Two Black Guy with Good Credit official. You know, break it down.
Man, bro, you set me up because I'm off the mark. Sorry, ladies.
Oh, my God. You said it three times. We get it. Your girlfriend's listening. Oh, my God. We get it.
No, but if you want to hit me up for any, like, business-related stuff, you can find me. Famous Vernon is my social handle. Famous Vernon. Matt, you're hilarious. Famous Vernon is my social channel. Can't talk today. TheCareerPivotGuide.com is where you can find the guide. And then, I'm all over social media. VernonTFoster.com is my website. But you can find me if you Google. Yeah.
All right, people. Well, like I said, that brings this episode to a close. I'm 1/4 of Two Black Guys with Good Credit. My name's Matt Smith, and like I always say, nothing changes if nothing changes, so get your pivot on.
Yep. I'm Sean Linda, the better half of Two Black Guys with Good Credit, and like I say every week, keep your money where it belongs, in your damn pocket, and if you want to reach out to us, send an email at tbgwgc@gmail.com. Matt, that's the acronym for Two Black Guys with Good Credit @gmail.com, and we always love those 5-star ratings on Apple or iTunes, and just bigging up our show. We love you guys. See you next time, and I'm out. Karen?
I am Karen Margolis, one of several Black Guys with Good Credit. And I am also, from last week, still Black, still pretty good credit. And you can hit me up if you want to say hi. I would love that. Karen Margolis on social, KerenMargolis. That's Karen with an E.
Also, if you guys want to hit up Sean Linda on social, he has a MySpace account. So go to MySpace.
All right. You got the final blow in. There you go. 1, 2, 3. I'm out. You won this week. The competitive mother F for you. All right. Good.
All right. Great. We're out. I'll take it.
Out.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.